Now we're holding on Tes Amud Aleph, the Mishnah. We learned previously then, in the previous Mishnah, we talked about Yodos, where a person makes a partial declaration of a neder, and that's enough, and it counts as the full neder. For example, he said, Shani Oichaloch, that what I would have eaten of yours, and we fill in the details that he means to say that what I would have eaten of yours is also to me like a korban, and that counts as a neder. So now let's give other examples of yodis. Suppose the person says, Kinidre Rishoyim. Suppose the person says, I'm putting myself under, or not myself, a neder is on the object. The person is saying that the following thing is going to be like the neder of Rishoyim. Now, the point is, in other words, we don't mean Rishoyim as in full-fledged Rishoyim, but we mean, in other words, that relative to this kind of thing, Tzadikim, as we're going to go on to say, or Ksherim, as the Mishnah goes on to call them, don't just make Nedarim willy-nilly. In fact, actually, if they're going to make it, first of all, I mean, we do have, for example, we talked about yesterday, making a shavua for a mitzvah, which is to do a mitzvah, which is an appropriate thing to do. You can have, for example, of course, a kosher will make a neder to bring a korban, but even then they won't make it a neder, they'll make it a nedava, rather, where the difference between neder and nedava is neder, as you say, hare olai, the obligation is on me. Nedava, as you say, harei zu, that you say this animal itself is a korban, or this item itself belongs to Hekdesh, or whatever. One, the big difference between them being that with a neder, you always chaya bachriyosa. If the animal dies or otherwise becomes unavailable, you have to bring a different one. Nedava, you don't. So the upshot is, as we're going to discuss as we go through the Mishnah and the Gemara, that Ksherim don't make certain kinds of declarations. They leave those to the Rishoyim, not again, not out and out Rishoyim, but relative to the Ksherim, these people are Rishoyim, and they say they will make Nedarim casually, for example, the Rishoyim, they'll make Nedarim casually, they'll make Nedarim in a way where they're making the Neder, and then they may not get around to fulfilling it, as we'll discuss in the Gemara. So now if a person says that I am making a neder like that of the Rishoyim. So now, neder b'nozir of a korban of a shvua. So the result is that his neder can be one of three things. As the Gemara is going to explain, that let's say, for example, now if he says, suppose there's a nozir walking by in front of him, and he says, kinidre Rishoyim hareini, and he adds the word, so he says, kinidre Rishoyim, and he adds the word hareini, I am. Then the fact that he says that, plus that there's a nozir walking in front of him, is enough for that to mean that he's saying that I'm going to become a nozir, which that's not a valid reason to, I mean, a person is a nozir under those circumstances. It is, he is completely a nozir, all the dinim of nazirus apply to him, but it's not really an appropriate way to declare nazirus, as we're going to see in the Gemara, that a person shouldn't just be willy-nilly becoming a nozir. So it would mean that. Or of a korban. Similarly, if he had an animal in front of him, so the Gemara spells out that only when it comes to the nazir are we talking about that he means that kinidre shayim hareini. The Gemara doesn't spell it out by the other two, but the Ran explains that that is what it means. So in the case of korban, it would mean if he has an animal in front of him and he says kinidre shayim olai, then it would mean that he's declaring that he has an obligation to bring an animal as a korban, and it's going to be that animal. And the same thing, in other words, a kosher, instead of making a neder, would make a nedava, as we're going to see in the Gemara, that first of all, the nedava, there's less chance of something going wrong, because in fact, if the animal does die or whatever, then he doesn't have to bring another one. And second of all, he can even do, as we're going to say in the Gemara, that he only is makdish the animal shortly before he brings it as a korban, so he doesn't accidentally do me'ila with it. So on the other hand, the nidre reshoyim of a korban would be that where he just says that I'm putting on myself an obligation to bring a korban. Now, as long as he had an animal in front of him when he said that, he said nidre reshoyim olai. Then it would mean that he's making himself obligated to bring an animal as a korban. Tosfos actually discusses that at some length, does it mean carbon in that sense, or do we mean carbon in the sense that we talked about before, and which we're going to talk about later on in our Masechta, matfis for carbon, where a person says that this object should be also to me like a carbon, which is the basic form of a neder. So Tosfos discusses maybe that when we say over here, kenidra d'shoyim, when we say over carbon, maybe that's what it means. It means that when he says kenidra d'shoyim, and he has, let's say, an object in front of him, then it would mean that he's saying, and when kenidra d'shoyim, and he's saying like a carbon, then it would mean that he's making this thing also to him with a neder. Where again, you know, a kosher shouldn't be doing that. Why is a kosher unnecessarily going and assuring him this loaf of bread or this piece of meat or whatever? If he wants to keep away from it, let him do it without making a neder on it. A neder, you always have the possibility that you may go and be over on it accidentally, and then that's a problem. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, we talked about making a shvur l'kayim as a mitzvah. That's different. We said that was l'zaruze nafshe. After all, you are obligated minat Torah to do this thing, or at least it's a chumrah within something of Torah itself. Like we said, ashkin v'eshne perek zeh. I'll get up early and learn this part of Torah. So fine, that's l'zaruze nafshe. To encourage himself, he can do that. But stam to say about a certain object that it should be also to me in a neder is not really the best thing to do, as we're going to talk about in the Gemara.
You see, without Hashem's name, there's
even without Hashem's name, the point is a neder is it's still a neder addressed to Hashem. It's still you're still saying that you're still saying that I'm putting this thing off limits to me like a carbon, and therefore you shouldn't really be doing that if you can help it. Better now, obviously. I mean, the fact is the Torah does give us the concept of nedarim, and the idea is, you know, sometimes a person has a tremendous yetzer hara for something, and therefore making a neder will help him overcome that. There's even, I think Rabbeinu Bachaye says on the pasuk that the word neder can be related to the word dira, because when you're making a neder, you're, so to speak, making a home for Hashem in the world by making that neder. So it can be a positive thing, but depends how you express it, and depends for what purpose you're expressing it. So that's over carbon, over shvua. And then the third thing would be similarly, if he says kenidra d'shoyim, kenidra d'shoyim hareini, or something like that, okay, then that would be So in the case of Korban, the Ran says, he says, Kenidra Shoyim Hemenu. So Kenidra Shoyim Hemenu, from it, I won't eat, as we'll see in the Gemara. So then that means that he's making a neder. If he says Kenidra Shoyim alive, and that when there's an animal, then that would be the Korban. And if he says Kenidra Shoyim Hemenu, Shaloi Oichal, like Nidra Shoyim, I won't eat of it, then that constitutes a shvua, because now he's saying I won't eat it, and a shvua is on the person. So then that means that he's expressed a shvua. The Mefodesh over here printed under the name Rashi gives a different explanation. All of them are referring to, it doesn't have to be that there is a nazir walking in front of him or an animal in front of him or whatever. In all three cases, we're talking about there's a loaf of bread in front of him, let's say, and he says, Kenidra d'shoyim. So what it means is, in other words, if he's saying that if I eat this bread, then I am imposing myself, al tnai. If I eat this bread, then I will be chayev b'nazir b'korban of a shvur. So then it'll actually mean that he'll be chayev in all of them. He'll be chayev to be a nazir and to bring a korban. And he'll also be chayev for a shvur. So, in other words, what he says is, it'll be, kenidra d'shoyim means I'll be a nazir. If I eat this bread, I'll become a nazir. So he's making a tanai. And then, the object itself is like a korban and like a shvur that I won't eat it. So that's kenidra d'shoyim. I saw, by the way, a very interesting vote on this about the difference between the ksherim and the rishoyim that we're saying over here, where the rishoyim make a neder, the tzaddikim prefer to do nedava, where there's less chance of something going wrong. A musadik vote from the Michtav Me'eliyahu. He says the salient difference over here between the ksherim and the rishoyim is the rasha, for purpose, again, we don't mean an out rasha, we just mean for this purpose, he's a rasha, figures, I'm yotze by making a promise. I have an obligation. Good, I made a promise. There you go. What do you want more from me? I already made a promise. Whereas the kosher realizes that's not the important thing. The important thing is not to make the promise. The important thing is to keep the promise. So therefore, to begin with, they're not going to express the promise in a way where they may not fulfill it right away. They're going to express the promise in a way, it's not a promise that I'll do at some future date, but rather that I'm going to do it right now. That's the chain.
What would be a good way to do it, Itch?
So that's what we're going to say. So we're going to see in the Gemara examples. So Knidrik Shadim Loy Omaklum. So now, if he says, on the other hand, that I'm making a neder like the neder of Kshedim, then Loy Omaklum, then what he said doesn't count for anything because the Kshedim don't make Nedarim. If they're going to say something, they make it as a Nedava. So Knidvoisam, on the other hand, if he says, can it, and by the way, so the Rosh points out that would mean even if he says the rest of the formula of a neder, even let's say, for example, he says, Kenidrik Shadim, this bread will be to me like a korban. But because he put the words Kenidrik Shadim over there, then that kind of cancels out anything he said afterwards. It's almost like when nowadays we say, I'll do such and such, Bli Neder, where the Bli Neder cancels out the fact that he said, I'll do such and such, and makes it that it's not actually a neder. So the same thing. Can it voice them? On the other hand, if he said that I pledge like the nedava of Kshevim, nadar benazir of a korban, then that can include the concept of nazir and the concept of korban. So shvua na, the Ran says, the Kshevim are not going to be nishba. They're not going to make a shvua except in the case of rakayim as a mitzvah. But a neder they will make where it's appropriate, but they will do it in the form of nedava. Now the Gemara is going to explain that when it comes to a korban, it's easy enough to understand. We know the difference between neder and nedava with a korban. Neder, like we said before, is hare olai, the obligations on him. If the animal is no longer available for one reason or another, he has to bring a different one. Nedava, it's not like that. But what is the difference between neder and nedava as far as nazir? We'll get to that in the Gemara. We'll get to that further in the Gemara. The Ran explains that what it is once we establish that there's a difference between the Ksherim and the Rishoyim in terms of their attitude towards Nedarim, then what it is any good Neder we call by the word Nedava, and any not so good one we call by the word Neder. So therefore, in effect, when we say Nidre Ksherim, it's like an oxymoron. There's a stira mine ovek. Nidre implies something that's not desirable, and Ksherim implies that it is. So therefore, no such thing exists. On the other hand, Knidvoisam, when he says Knidvois Ksherim, fine. It means, in other words, the kind of neder which we're using the word Nedava for, which is a more positive thing, which Ksherim will do, and therefore that has, therefore such a thing exists. They do. They sometimes, a kosher will make himself a nazir if he feels the need to. A kosher will put something off limits to himself as a neder, but he won't just do it, for example, he won't just do it because he flew off the handle and decided to do it. It won't just be because on the spur of the moment, won't just be like you have cases where a person makes a neder or Nizidus as a bet with somebody else or whatever. Kshedim don't do that. So therefore, that's what we mean neder versus nedava. And the Ran also adds, if you were to say nidras rishoyim, then it's also not. Again, if they use the word nedava, or if they express it as a nedava should be expressed, then for that purpose, we can't call them rishoyim. So there's no such thing as a neder of kshedim. In effect, we're saying, and there's no such thing as a nedava of rishoyim. The word neder is associated with rishoyim for this purpose. That is, the word nedava is associated with kshedim. So then, nadar v'nazir of a korban. So the result is that he may have declared. So if there was a nazir walking by, then he'll become a nazir. And if there's an animal in front of him, then it'll become a korban. So that's the Ran says. The difference is like this: a neder again means you have to think of it. He says when a person makes a neder, what is he saying? He's saying hare olai, I will designate such and such an animal for a korban and bring it. But right now, I'm just putting the obligation on myself. So again, it's more like a thing for the future. He's saying, now I've made a promise. At some future time, I'll get around to fulfilling it. Meanwhile, you have potential problems about ta'acher and then things like that. Things may come up, whatever. So therefore, that's why we're calling it kenidre v'shoyim. Whereas nedava, we know to begin with, when a person says nedava, is that he's saying harezu. Right now, he's declaring that the animal is a korban. That means right now he's starting the process of fulfilling his commitment. Yes. So therefore, that's much better. The animals, well, in both cases, the animals in front of him. But the difference is when he says hare olai, means he's saying, I obligate to bring myself to bring a korban. And then I'll get around to it at some point. Whereas nedava, he's saying right now, this animal is a korban. Now, the Gemara's point is going to point out, you do have the potential problem of ne'ilah until he brings the animal. Conceivably, he could end up forgetting that the animal was designated as a korban and misuse it for his private purposes. That would be a problem in itself. But the Gemara is going to explain how you can avoid that problem also. But the point is, when a person says nedava, says the Ran, It means he's much closer to actually taking a solid obligation on himself rather than just to make a promise that's just going to be kind of hanging in the air over there. And that's why we call that something more that Kshedim do as opposed to Rishoyim. So that goes back to this idea of Rabbi Eliyahu Dessler from Michtav Meliyahu, that the difference between a person saying, I promised, what more do you want from me, versus I realize a promise is not the essential thing, the Mahamaisa who Iker, and that's what I'm going to do. So the Gemara starts here. When we say kenidre reshoyim, and we're saying that there's nazir, korban, and shavuah involved, so the doma hachi karma kenidre reshoyim lo nadana. Again, all this is a yad. We're saying that we have to fill in the rest of the declaration. So how do we know that he's saying kenidre reshoyim? I am accepting something on myself. Maybe he means kenidre reshoyim lo nadana. Maybe just the opposite. Maybe he's saying that I'm not making a neder like the neder reshoyim. So maybe he's not saying a statement of neder at all. He's saying, you know, you want to see what a good guy I am. I'm not going to make a neder of reshoyim. So how are we actually imposing some kind of neder on him? So the answer is amashmul, but I'm a kenidre reshoyim hareini olai behemen. Because we're talking about, he said kenidre reshoyim and then added one of these three words, hareini, I am. Olai, it's on me, or vehemenu, or from it. So therefore, hareini b'nezirus. So the word hareini would mean that he's saying something about his own status. So now he's saying that I will become a nazir. Olai, that it's on me, means b'korban, that he's imposed on himself a chiyuv to bring a korban. Or as Tosfa says, maybe one possibility, it means that now he's saying that this object is also to me like a korban. And hemenu b'shvur, and when he says hemenu from it, then it means I won't eat from it, which constitutes a shvur. Which the Gemara is going to.
Nedarim are necessarily being spoken.
Nedarim have to be spoken. Yeah, you do have in the case of tzedakah, for example, that a person can think that he's going to give something for tzedakah, and that's binding. But in the case of most other, in the case of pretty much all other nedarim, yeah, you have to state it out. Okay, so the Gemara asks, but still, let's analyze the first one. Hareini nizirus. You're saying that if he says kenidre reshoyim hareini, then it means he becomes a nazir. Why? How does hadoma hareini b'tainis kamer? The word hareini could just as well mean that I'm obligating myself to fast. So in that case, it's only a yad she'enei mechiach. And we learned a few days ago that Shmuel holds that a yad she'enei mechiach is not a valid yad. So how can you put on him nezirus on the grounds of just saying kenidre reshoyim hareini? And the answer is amashmul kshoyin nazir over the funnel. The answer is that we're talking about where a nazir was walking in front of him. So even though it's true that he only said kenidre reshoyim hareini, so now the Ran adds, if he were to say so now what would happen? The Ran says if he just says hareini by itself. So a nazir is walking by and he says hareini. Would that be good enough to make him a nazir? Now, you do have a case, which we mentioned the other day, where a nazir is walking by and somebody says, hey, I will be. That is enough to make him a nazir because that's considered a yad mechiyah. The fact that he sees a nazir walking by and says, hey, implies I'm going to be like him. So the Ran first brings from his rebbeim that hey is a stronger loshen than hareini, and therefore, a hay by itself is all enough to make him a nazir if there's a nazir walking by, whereas hareini would not, and he'd need to add the words kenidre reshoyim hareini. However, the Ran himself does not like that explanation. He says there's no real difference. The point is, he's saying that the main chiddush of the Mishnah is not so much the nidre reshoyim part, but rather the nidre kshedim part, where if there's a nazir walking by and he says kenidre kshedim hareini, nothing would happen. He said the word hareini, which is tantamount to saying hey, but it doesn't matter. Since he said kenidre kshedim, then that kind of cancels it out. Like we said, it's like saying bli ned. So the Ran says that's what it means.
So Loshin say, let's say he wants to be a nazir, and he says a loshin of being nazir, it seems like it's a shoyim.
So that's the thing. It depends. So really, it depends on his motivation for becoming a nazir, as we're going to talk about on Omid Beis. A person can have different motivations for becoming a nazir. But here we're talking about, does he actually use the words kenidre reshoyim, or does he use the words kenidre kshedim? So that's what we're saying. There's no such thing as nidre kshedim. So therefore, if he says kenidre kshedim, I'm going to do such and such, then nothing happens. But if he's kenidre reshoyim, I'll do such and such, then that can include nazirus.
most people wouldn't want to use the word Rishayim.
They wouldn't want to, no, they wouldn't want to call themselves Rishayim, but he's not. He's saying that I'm expressing a neder of the kind that Rishayim would express. For that purpose, it makes him a Rasha. You know what? I mean, how does the Alter Rebbe talk about in Tanya? You know, if a person realized that every Avera makes him a Rasha Shoachas Lifnei Amakim, then he wouldn't do it. But you know, a person has a Yetzahara, that the person has a Ruach Shtus that convinces him that not. Yeah. Anyway, so now you're talking about again that there was a Nazir walking in front of him, and therefore when he says Kenidra to show him Hareni, then that means he's not accepting on himself a Tainus or anything like that. It has to mean that he's accepting on himself Nazirus. Tosfos also points out that you have actually as far as accepting a tainus on himself, b'chlal, you have a machloikus elsewhere in Shas, whether a person who accepts a tainus on himself is called a kodesh or is called a choite. Here we're talking according to Shmuel, that a person who accepts a tainus on himself, which he doesn't need to, is called a choite, because why is he depriving himself of food and drink unnecessarily? And also, even if we say that he's kodesh, that would be where he says a fixed time. If he were to say Kenidra to show him Hareni, he's not accepting a fixed time. So again, it's like saying it's like an open-ended thing where he says Harei Alai Korban or something like that, where we can't call him a kodesh for that. If he says that tomorrow I will be fasting, maybe you could call him a kodesh for that. So we're talking about that here. So it's not even a matter of Hareni Batinus, because there was a nazir walking in front of him. In other words, Alai Korban are in parenthesis, they don't really seem to belong over here. But if they are, then it means that olai b'korban, the same thing. In other words, that would mean that as far as a korban, when he says olai, it would have to mean that there's an animal for a korban in front of him, or according to one possibility in Tosfos, that there's an object in front of him, which he's saying is off limits to me like a korban.
What does it mean that he's in front of him? The person is admiring this?
Not necessarily even admiring. Reuven is a nazir and is walking by. Shimon sees him walking by and says, then that would make Shimon a nazir, because he said the fact that combining everything together, that there's a nazir walking in front of him, that he said Hareini, that I will be, which implies I will be like this guy, and he added the words Kenidra to show him. It implies I want to be like that, but yeah, that's what it means. In other words, so it means that he's now making himself a neder of nazir. Again, according to the Ran's Rebbeim, it would mean only if he said that. It would mean an alternate way of saying that would be to say ehei without even saying kenidre reshoyim, and that would also make him a nazir. According to the Ran himself, there's no difference either way. Saying hareini by itself would also be enough, even without saying kenidre reshoyim. The chiddush is that if you were to say kenidre ksherim hareini, then nothing would happen. The kenidre ksherim cancels out the hareini. What about hemenu b'shvua? The next one we said is, again, suppose he says kenidre reshoyim hemenu, like the nedarim of reshoyim, from it. So now we're saying that constitutes b'shvua, that constitutes a shvua that I won't eat from it. But maybe the opposite. Dilma hemenu da achil nakamer. How do you know? Hemenu means from it. It can mean from it as to stay away from it, and it can mean from it as to eat from it. So maybe fakir. Maybe by that he's expressed a shvua that he will eat this. Amar Rava da amar hemenu shloichal. So Rava says, okay, you know, you're talking about that he said, but kenidur reshoyim hemenu, I won't eat from it. Well, the question is, well, in that case, what's the chiddush? I mean, at that point, he's pretty much expressed a full shvua. The answer is Maud Tema, holy mapik shvua mipume. The fact is, he didn't use a word shvua. So he didn't say shvua that I won't eat from this. He just said kenidre to show him that I won't eat from this. So you would think it's not a shvua. Kamash Malan Hodain, nevertheless, we're still being told that's how it is, and it is a shvua. And as we talked about before, it is possible, even though a neder and a shvua, strictly speaking, are different things, to a certain extent they're interchangeable, especially in Lashon Bnei Adam, and therefore you can have something which was expressed in the Lashon, and use the word neder, but the content of it is a shvua, because it's saying shaloi oichal, that I won't eat from it, which therefore constitutes a shvua, even though it was expressed in the form of a neder. Now, we said in the Mishnah, Kenidre Ksherim Lo Omaklum. Now, we said when it comes to Ksherim, the Ksherim don't make Nedarim, but Kenidvoisam, Nadar B'chola. But if he said Kenidvoisam, then it means that can include the concept of Nazir or the concept of Korban, because Ksherim will become Nazirim, or they will declare animals for Korbanus, but they will do it as a nedava rather than as a neder. Like the Ran said before, that neder implies that the person is taking on less of a commitment, yet nedava implies they're taking on a stronger commitment, and therefore that's something that the Kshedim will do. They'll do their commitment in a way where it's not just something sometime in the future, I'll get around to it, but rather they take concrete steps to make it happen. So the Gemara says, though, Man Tana de Shani Le Ben Neder and Adaba. Now, which Tana is it that holds that there's that distinction between Neder and Adaba? The fact is, both of them, even though we're saying, fine, one is Hare Olai, one is Hare Zu, one you're designating a certain animal at the time and saying that the Nadava goes on it, one you're not. But nevertheless, both of them are only verbally. Neither of them have actually done any actual action to do it. And which Tana would hold that there's that difference, that a Neder is something associated with the Rishoyim and Nadava is something associated with Kshedim? Lema loyra meir v'loyra Yehuda. Would we have to say that our Mishnah is not like Rav Meir and not like Rav Yehuda? So in that case, who is it going to be like? And where do we see that Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda argue on this? The Tanya. We learn in a Brice. Now you have like this. There's psukim in Kehelas. There's a pasuk that says that when you make a neder, pay it off, and it finishes off at Esa Shetido Shalim. Whatever you made a neder, pay off. Then the next pasuk continues, Toiv asher lo tider, better that you don't make a neder, misha tider v'loy tishalim, than that you should make a neder and not pay it off. So now there are two ways of understanding the psukim. So in other words, we're saying there are three different things. There's making a neder and paying it off, there's not making a neder at all, and then there's making a neder and not paying it off. No question that last one is the worst one. But between the first two, what is Shlomo saying is better? Better to make the neder and pay it off, or better not to make the neder in the first place? So Tanya, the pasuk says toiv asher lo tider v'gomer. The pasuk is saying better that you don't make the neder. So that means toiv mizeh mizeh sheinu neder kol ikar divrei Meir. So the Meir understands that toiv asher lo tider to mean the best thing of all is to not make a neder. But if you made a neder, then at least pay it off. That don't be like that guy, Mishatido Veloit the Shalem, don't be like that. And so it's continuing from the previous pasuk, Esa Shatido Shalem, whatever you make a neder, pay it off. But you would have been better off, Toyba Sherle Tidur, you would have been better off not making the neder in the first place. The Rosh actually says that the Ran and the Meforesh explain the Gemara that way, that we're also, even though we're only mentioning the Pasuk Tov Asher Lo Tider, we're actually referring to the end of the previous Pasuk Esa Shetido Shalom. The Rosh has a problem with that because the fact is we're not quoting that in the Gemara. So rather the Rosh says, if it just meant that there are two levels and we're saying that the best thing is to, if Rameo would say if the best thing is to make a neder and then fulfill it, then the pasuk wouldn't have to finish off at mishatido v'loy tishalim, because obviously we understand the worst thing is to make a neder and then not fulfill it. So therefore, wouldn't even need to say v'loy tishalim. The fact that it phrases that, Rameo says, even leaving aside the earlier pasuk, just within the pasuk toiv asher lo tider, you can see that the Shlomo is telling you the best thing of all is not to make a neder. So that's the divrei Meir. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a toiv mizeh umizeh, no doing a shalom. And Rabbi Yehuda says the best of all is to make a neder and then fulfill it. So he says, in other words, so he parses the pasuk, toiv esa shetido shalom. What you make a neder, you should pay off. He says Shlomo is saying that's the best of all. Next best is toiv asher lo tider. The next best thing is not to make a neder at all. And the worst of all, and that is still better. Toiv, that is still better than mishatido v'lo tishalom, to make a neder and not fulfill it. In other words, the Ran says, now you would think that in that case, so what's the chiddush? Why is there a chiddush that making a neder and fulfilling it is the best thing? So the fact is, or is it a chiddush, the Ran says, is it a chiddush that if you make a neder and you don't fulfill it, then it's the worst of all? Why would Shlomo even have to mention that point? So he says, because you would think, when you're making a neder, you're giving yourself a schus. Then after all, if you forgot the neder, if there was an oinus or something, you didn't lose that schus. You oinus rechmona patre, so what do you want from me? No, we're saying the schar is not for the neder, the schar is when you actually fulfill the neder. So that's what Shlomo is saying. The worst of all is to make a neder and not fulfill it, because even if the non-fulfillment was because of oinus or what have you, still you haven't, you're not receiving any schar for the fact that you made that neder in the first place. Again, according to the Rosh, the vote is we're not even learning from a separate pasuk within that pasuk itself. The very fact that it says mishatider v'loy tashalim, the fact that Shlomo has to spell out that the worst of all is to make a neder and not fulfill it, implies, according to the mayor, that the best of all is not to make a neder at all. Otherwise, he wouldn't even need to mention that point. Anyway, the point is, according to the mayor, it sounds like any kind of neder is not the best thing. The best of all, what the Kshedim would do, is not to make a neder in the first place. So according to him, there doesn't seem to be a difference between neder and nedava. Because either way, you have the problem, or are you going to end up fulfilling it? According to the Yehuda, he says the best of all is to make a neder and then fulfill it. Again, no difference between neder and nedava. Our mission, which is distinguishing between neder and nedava, who is that like? Neither a mayor nor a Yehuda seems to hold of such a distinction.
Because
our Mishnah said that Kshedim don't make Nedarim, they make Nedavas. Rishayim don't make Nedavas, they make Nedarim. So then, who neither a mayor nor a Yehuda seems to subscribe to such a distinction? The answer is, afilo teimer a mayor, you can even say that our Mishnah goes according to the mayor, which we refer to as Stam Mishnah a mayor, after all. Because you know what? Rameyer is talking about a neder. After all, the expression in the pasuk was Esa Shetidur Shalim. Tidur is from the same Shodesh as neder. Toiva Sholei Tidur Mishetidur V'loi Tashalim. So Rameyer is saying that therefore, so Shlomo is talking exclusively about nedarim. It's not, the pasuk is not even talking about nedava. But nedava, like karma, the pasuk is not talking about nedava. So therefore, so Rameyer could well say that a nedava is something that a kosher will do. So the Gemara says, "V'chatani can advoice some nadav and nazir of a korban." But let's look back at the Mishnah. We said that if a person says, "Like the nadavos of ksherim," then what it means is that he's made a neder of nazir and korban. So we see that we are using the word neder, and the answer is "Tani nadav benazir of a korban." You're right. You have to fix up the wording of the Mishnah, not nadar with a reish, but nadav with a vase. That he's voluntarily accepted on himself nazir, or that he's voluntarily accepted on himself nazir or korban. Now, the Ran points out, he brings from his Rebbeim, that why do we wait until now to ask that question? As soon as we learned the Mishnah, that question should have jumped out at us. How are we saying nidvoisam and then can nidvoisam and then the next word is nodar? So he says because. First he brings from his Rebbeim that yes, the Gemara could have actually asked it on the Mishnah. First we wanted to establish who Bechlal holds as the difference between Neder and Nedava. Now that we're saying it's according to the mayor, then we can ask that the Mishnah itself seems to be inconsistent. The Ran himself says differently. What it means is like this. If before we knew that the Mishnah was like a mayor, then what it means is, again, since we're using the word nedava in the sense of a good kind of neder, so therefore what we're saying is, since at this point we don't know that there's really a difference between neder and nedava, then we can say that we're using the terms a little bit interchangeably. We're really distinguishing between nidrei ksherim and nidrei rishoyim, and saying nidrei ksherim, so we can call them interchangeably neder and nedava. But now the Gemara said there seems to be an actual sharp difference between neder and nedava. So now the question is, why is the Mishnah expressing it so loosely and using the word minidvoisam and then the word nodav? And the answer is, you're right. You have to correct the word to say the word nodav. Okay, so now the question is, Maishna noido deloy. So what are you telling me? You're saying that a person should not make a neder. The problem is duma osiba the data kola, because after all, he may end up doing something wrong. He may end up not keeping it for sholosh regalim, where then he's going to be over on baltacher. That's one possibility. Another possibility is that takola could also include that he may end up committing me'ila with it. He may end up forgetting that the animal has been designated as a korban, and he may end up using it. Well, nedava nami lo yidoma asibel et takola. Don't you have the same problem with a nedava? So after all, why is a nedava better than a neder? And the answer is kehilal azakin. The answer is because we're talking about where he does the nedava in the way that hilal azakin did, namely. The Tanya, Omru Olival Hilal Zokin, Shalem Mal Adam Ba'ilose Kol Yamav. They said about Hilal Zokin, he lived when the second Beis Hamikdash was still standing, so nobody ever was able to commit Me'ilah with an animal that he had brought as an Oila. because Meviyak Shichulin La'azara, what Hillel would do when he had to bring an oila, or when he was going, when he was voluntarily, he was bringing an oila, he would bring the animal to the azara, still as chulin. He would not yet designate it as a korban. Now, not literally into the azara, the Ran says, because he can't bring chulin into the azara. So right before he got into the azara, Umakdisha, right before he got in, he would be makdish the animal, and then as soon as he gets into the azara, he would do smicha on the animal and shecht it, and that way there's only there's no real window of opportunity to commit me'ila, because before he came to the door of the azara, the animal is still chulin. If somebody uses it at that point, nothing happens, and between the time when he's makdish it and when he shechts it, there's next to no time for anything to go wrong. So therefore, there's no problem about ta'acher, because he didn't actually make the medu yet. There's no problem with mi'ila. So therefore, what we're saying is, when a kosher who wants to bring a korban will do like that, he will follow Hillel's example and be makdish the animal only right before he brings it into the azara. So that way, there's no problem with takal.
There's a big line inside there, maybe.
If there's a big line, but even then, there's not going to be that. So then he'll see that there's a line, and he'll be makdish it before when it's his turn on the line. No, because you can't. So actually, there is actually elsewhere a Tosfos that talks about, that says that maybe actually he could even bring it in as chulin. Maybe all it is when we say you can't bring chulin la'azara, means, for example, you can't shecht it there or do something like that. Maybe just to bring the animal in, where after all, that is part of the process of bringing a korban. Maybe there's not a problem of bringing it in while it's still chulin. So in that case, when he says they would bring it la'azara, could literally mean that he's bringing it into the azara, and like you're saying, waiting online until it's his turn. Anyway, with that said, though, the Rosh says it doesn't even have to mean that he actually does that. Just the fact that it's possible to do that in the case of an adaga means therefore that can be called like the way Kshedim would do. Even if this particular person doesn't do that, nevertheless, we're still saying that the fact that he expressed it as an adaga, and there is the possibility of doing like Hillel did, is enough to save him from that. That we're not so worried about Takola, and therefore we can call it the Java of Kshay.
At least to come up to a coin, or whoever was shechting this with the coin, I'll ask, you bring this Lashma?
There was actually, yeah, well, the Lashma actually has to be done. The Lashma actually has to be done by the people who are doing the Avoda. Whoever shechts it has to have in mind that it's l'shem that particular korban. The kohen who does the kabbalah and the halacha and whatever has to have that in mind. But it is true, yes. When a person brought a korban in general, yes, there was actually something called the beis din shel kohanim, where they would go and ask the person. They would go and check with the person what exactly is it that he's bringing this korban for, because they have to find out first of all what kind of korban it is, and second of all, what. Well, that'll depend on what kind of korban it is, but they also have to find out, for example, what his motivation is for bringing the korban. You could have, imagine, for example, now let's say with an oila, maybe there's less of an issue. A person can bring an oila voluntarily. But let's say, for example, a person comes with a chatas to the Beis Hamikdash. You can't bring a chatas voluntarily. And you might have a person who thinks that he's chayav a chatas, and he's not. So the Beis Din Shel Kohanim would have to interrogate him about that. Let's say he comes and says, I broke Shabbos last week, I'm bringing a chatas. They would have to ask him, what exactly is it that you did? And he might say, for example, they did such and such, where they'll tell him, actually, you're not chayav a korban for it. That's only an issur d'rabbanan, let's say. So then they'd have to find out. There is actually something about that, I think, from the Choizim of Lublin, where somebody once asked him about that. I mean, how you talking? A person did such a serious thing as breaking Shabbos, and he gets away with just bringing one animal as a korban, and that's that, and everything's cleaned up. And the Choizim explained to him that you got to consider the person. When he's buying the animal, Mastama, the vendor he's buying it from is going to be curious while he's buying it, and he's going to have to tell him when he comes to the Beis Din Shel Kohanim. They're going to have to do, he's going to have to explain to them what he did, and over, and therefore he goes through a fair amount of embarrassment having to tell over and over what he did wrong, and therefore that itself is a part of his process of kapora as well. But anyway, here we're talking about an oila. In fact, there is an interesting thing from there's a pirush on the Masechta Nedarim called Tiferes Tzion, where he says, why is the Gemara mentioning specifically an oila? Well, what about other korbanos? And the answer is, Hillel was a tzaddik, he didn't do averus, so he's not bringing a chatas or an asham. And as far as a shlomim, the din is, me'ila doesn't apply to a shlomim while it's alive. Me'ila applies to a shlomim only the emurim of it, after you shecht it and cut it apart, then the emurim, the parts that are offered on the mizbeach, then me'ila would apply to them. But the shlomim as a whole, me'ila doesn't apply to, because ultimately the meat is going to be eaten by the kohenim and by the owners. And therefore, so that's why it mentions specifically olasai. because that was the only kind where while the animal is alive, you have the potential of Me'ila of the kind of korbanos that you would expect Hillel to bring. He's not going to be bringing chatois or hashams.
Once you give the Kohanim, it's on your hand.
No, that's not the point. The point is, right, well, that's the point. In other words, once you give it to the Kohanim, it's in their hands, right, and there's no Me'ila possible until they get to the Emurim, and by that time, yeah, it's long since out of Hillel's hands. Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara says, fine. Hanicha nedava de korbanos. Okay, so that takes care of the nedava of korbanos. We see, therefore, that when it comes to korbanos, you have the possibility of acting like Hillel did, and therefore you're avoiding the problem of takala. And therefore, again, a kosher will do that. Or as the Rosh says, even if the kosher doesn't actually do that, but the fact that he has the ability, the fact that he's using the word nedava itself shows that he's striving towards that kind of idea. So therefore, we can call him a kosher for that. But when it comes to Nezirus, Nedava and Nezirus, Ma'ikol Meima. When it comes to Nezirus, how is there a difference between Neder and Nedava? Either way, the person says, I'm a Nazir, they're a Nazir on the spot. We even talked about, we had the whole complicated sugya a few days ago where we discussed how is it possible for a Nazir to ever even be over on Baal Ta'achar on the face of it. As soon as he says, I'm a Nazir, he's a Nazir, and where is the Baal Ta'achar involved? So when he becomes a Nazir in the first place, then how is there a difference between Nidrei Kshedim and Nidrei Rishoyim that we should make that distinction in the Mishnah? And the answer is,
the Korbanos only come at the end.
So we said one possibility, a Baal Ta'achar with a Nazir, is where he delays bringing his Korbanos. For example, he becomes Tomei in the middle, and now therefore he's delaying the time when he's bringing his Korbanos Ta'achar. Fine, but all of that is later on. Right, we're talking about at the time he makes the Nezirus, how is there a distinction between the Nezirus of a Rosha and the Nezirus of a Kosher? And the answer is Sovala Kishimon HaTzadik. The answer is that he holds like Shimon HaTzadik that there can be a case where a person makes a Nezirus L'Shem Shamayim. The Ran actually takes out the words, Sovala. It's not Sovala. When you have a case like this story of Shimon HaTzadik that we're going to tell now, then we can see that clearly the person who made this Nezirus is doing it for reasons that are kosher, for good reasons. The Tanya, Rabbi Shimon HaTzadik, has a Rabbi, but the Shimon HaTzadik lived long before they started using the title Rebbe. He lived in the time when Godo Merabban Shmoy, when the greatest title you can give a person is his own personal name. So it's not Rabbi Shimon HaTzadik. That title came in only much later in the time of the second Mishnah. Anyway, so Shimon HaTzadik said, "Miyomai lechalti asham nozir tomei." In all my life, now he was the Kohen Gadol. He's entitled to eat from any of the korbanos that he wants, any of the korbanos where pieces are available to the Kohen, and he's entitled to take as much as he wants. But I never ate in my whole life the asham of a nozir tomei. A Nazir becomes Tomei in the middle of his Nazirus. He has to bring three korbanos. He brings two birds. One is an Ola, one is a Chatas. And he brings a sheep as an Osham. So Shimon HaTzadik is saying, I would never eat from such an Osham for reasons that we're going to discuss further on. And by the way, the Mephoshim point out, the Ritva points out that he wouldn't eat from the Ola either. We're just not mentioning it because, okay, you could say the Osham is a bigger animal. Maybe you would think that there's enough of a piece of it available for him and he should eat, but he didn't. Ella Echad, except. So we're going to say soon why. Ella Echad. No, not the oil of the Chatas. Chatas Oif is supposed to be eaten by the pain. But the Chatas Oif is a little tiny thing. You can say he didn't eat it because he never managed to get a piece of it. But the Oshim is a sheep, so it's a substantial size animal. But so he never. Ella Echad, with the exception of one. Yeah, we're going to talk about soon why it is that he did that. Pam, what was the one? Pam achas ba odem echad nozir min adorim. One time, one man, a nozir, came from the south, in the south of Eretz Yisrael, and the south in general is associated with people who are smarter. Chochma is associated more with the south, like you find the Menorah was on the south side of the, the south meaning the south of Eretz Yisrael, further south than Yerushalayim. Oh. So Chevron and Be'er Sheva, whatever. So he came from there. I saw him, he had beautiful eyes, a beautiful appearance. He had beautiful eyes and a beautiful appearance. And his locks of hair, his hair was growing around his face, was arranged around his face in curls. So a very handsome young man.
Okay.
No, we're talking about the person, it was another. So I said to him, Ni Mara Isa. So why he has to mention that he was from, why he has to mention that he was from the south? So yeah, Maushah associates it with the matter of Chokhmah. So we'll tell the whole story, and then we'll talk about what the significance of that detail is. Anyway, so Amarti Loi, so I said to him, Shimon HaTzadik says, I said, Bni Maru Isa Lahashka Sara Saur Chazana, what made you decide to destroy this beautiful hair of yours? You're coming as a Nazir. You're gonna have to cut off all that hair. And this is actually, he was a Nazir Tomei. He'd accidentally become Tomei during his Nazirus. So now he's gonna have to bring his 3 Korbanos and start his Nazirus over again. That's why we're talking about the Osher. Don't you realize that now the result is you're going to have to shave off all these beautiful locks of hair of yours? What were you thinking? He became Tomei. It has to be because a Nazir Toher also brings Korbanos at the end of his Nazirus, but there's no Oshem involved. He was saying, Shimon HaTzadik specifically saying, I would never eat the Oshem of a Nazir except for this one. So therefore, we have to be talking about that he became Tomei. So Shimon HaTzadik is asking him, don't you realize if you had never become a Nazir, the fact that you were Tomei wouldn't hurt anything. But now that you're a Nazir and you became Tomei, now you have to shave off all those beautiful curls of hair. What were you thinking? So he says to me, Roya ha-yisi la'aba ba'iri. I was a shepherd for my father in my city. I was pastoring my father's sheep. Halachti l'malas mayim in amayin. One time I went to fill up water from the spring. V'nistakalti b'bavur shali. I saw my reflection in the water. And I saw my reflection. And I realized how handsome I was. Upochaz ola yitzri. My yetzahara was starting to overpower me. Pochaz literally means like to be hasty. The Ran says miher maloshin pochaz kamayin. My yetzahara was starting to run away and be quick. And uvikish latodeni mina olam, and to make me lose the world, that I should become a bal taiva. In other words, that I should say, look, you're such a handsome guy. What are you sitting over here pasturing sheep? There's so much taivas the world has to offer to a handsome young man like you. Why don't you do that? And this Yetzirah is trying to convince him with such thoughts. There's even an interesting explanation. This story is also in the Gemara in Nazir. One of the Mefoshim there in Nazir says another word that the Pochaz Ola Yitzvi is Yetzirah was trying to convince him to worship his own image. You're such a beautiful young man. You should worship your own image. Lahavdil in Greek mythology, there's something like that. There's a fellow who falls in love with his own. With his own reflection in the water, and ends up in English you have the word a narcissist, like a person is completely into himself, like he doesn't even think about the world around him. It comes from that story. So here, on the other hand, this guy is almost like the character in that story. He's seeing his image in the water, thinking this is something, a beautiful thing like that I should worship. But then he says, I caught myself. A Marti Loi, I says to the Yetzirah, Rosha Loma Atavisgab Olam She'en Shocha. Where you, Russia, what are you being proud of? A world that doesn't really belong to you, because the world is now, you're not always going to be in the world. But Mishu also Lias Rima Veselaya, somebody where my appearance is just going to end up being for worms and maggots. So what are you trying to convince me that I should be a Baltaiva and enjoy everything the world has to offer or worship my own image? Ha'avoida, I swear by the Avoida of the Beis Mikdash, Sha'agal Chachal Shamayim, that I will cut off that hair, that beautiful hair that you, Yetzirah, are priding yourself on in honor of Hashem. So that's why I became a Nazir. So now Shimon HaTzadik continues. Miyad amadti u'mishaktiv al roshei. So right away I got up and kissed him on his head. Amarti lo, I said, Bni, my son, kamoicha yubu nozri nazirus b'Yisrael. There should be many more people who accept nazirus among the Jewish people like you, for not necessarily for the same reason, but l'shem shamayim. That people should accept Nazirus purely l'shem shamayim, like you did, rather than, as like we said before, sometimes you could have a person who would accept Nazirus just like almost as a bet with somebody else. We talked about the other day, for example, a case which is discussed in Masechta Nazir. Two people, Reuven and Shimon, are walking together. They see Levi in the distance. They see somebody in the distance, and one of them says, I bet that's Levi, and if it is, I'll be a Nazir. And the other one says, I bet it's not Levi, and if he is, I'll be a Nazir. That's not a bad, the person becomes a Nazir, la halacha, but that's not a good reason to become a Nazir. But with this guy, he did it l'shem shemayim. And Shimon HaTzadik tells him, Alecha, Kosev Omer, you're the kind of person the Pasuk is talking about when it says, Ish ki yafli lidno neder Nazir, when a person declares a neder to become a Nazir, lahazir l'Hashem, to become a Nazir to Hashem, your Nazirus is purely for Hashem. So therefore, so now you became Tomei. Unavoidably, it happens, but I will eat from your Osham. His promise was that he's saying his Yetzirah is trying to get the better of him. That either his Yetzirah, as the Ran says, is Yetzirah. So he's becoming a nazir, and therefore he's saying, I'll cut my hair, and therefore I won't look as beautiful anymore. So now you, Yetzer Hara, are not going to get the better of me thinking, I'm such a beautiful guy, I should enjoy everything the world has to offer, or I'm such a beautiful guy, I should worship my own image. No, I'll make myself unattractive by shaving my hair at the end of my nazirus.
I'm going to go shave my hair now.
Right? Yeah, well, that's at the end of his nazirus, one way or the other. When he's a nazir tahor, he shaves his hair. And,
He
made a nazirus one time. If that's enough to control this, to keep his yetzer hara and check for the future, then good. If he needs to do it again, he'll do it again.
I'm going to go take a haircut now, doctor. Is that the
idea? Yeah, that's the idea. In other words, he's saying, and just in order to break the power of the yetzer hara, yeah.
In his case, it
was
because
it's a carbon. No, he brings carbonus as well. The main point is the shaving his hair. Shimon HaTzadik is asking, what are you shaving this beautiful hair of yours? He's saying, Davka, that's just it. The beautiful hair was what provoked my yetzer hara to try to get the better of me, and therefore I broke him by doing that. So the Maharsha, by the way, talks about over here. So why is it important So Maharsha has a couple of questions. One of them is, why is it important to mention he came from the south? And second of all, we said that why is he saying atmosgoya, that you're being proud? If the problem is, like the Ran is saying, that he's thinking I'll enjoy all the taivas of the world, or the Mefarish uses the expression that I'll come to hear her aveda. What does the word misgoya have to do with that? So the vote is, the Maharsha says, the fact that he came from the south, which is associated with chokhmah, is that he was in fact a chokham. But nevertheless, he was having kibud av for his father. He wasn't going and doing what a chacham would be expected to do. His father wants him to pass through the sheep. He's going to pass through the sheep. Even though this is be'iri, even though this is in my city, where everybody knows what a chacham I am, I'm going to go do this menial job of taking care of the sheep because my father told me to. So now, when he also realizes that he's not only smart, but also when he realizes now, seeing his reflection, that he's beautiful as well, so now he's thinking, I have all the milas, I should be a shepherd. So nisgoy alai, so my yetzer hara started trying to make me proud and thinking with toredim and olam that I should be over on kibud av ve'em. And kibud av ve'em brings a person to long life. The opposite does not. So therefore, that's literally what it means, that the yetzer hara wanted to remove him from the world. So then he's saying, after this girl, that you're trying to be proud and you're thinking, I want her to be a shepherd anymore. And don't you realize that if you don't do kibud av, then that itself is going to shorten your life? As in fact, we find, Maharsha says, we find with Avshalom, that was exactly it. Avshalom was also a nazir. He grew his hair long, but he was nisgoy besara. He was proud of his long hair and the beauty that it gave him. And what ended up happening? He ended up rebelling against his father, David, and ended up getting caught by his hair in a tree and killed. So Sefrakeot, he says that, So now I realize the Yetzer Hara is actually trying to kill me, and therefore I'm saying I'm going to break the Yetzer Hara by doing this. So the Gemara asks on the story, Maskif L'Rabbani. So the point is, we see from that story that you can have different people can have different motivations for becoming a nazir. This guy had the purest possible motivation to become a nazir, and therefore we're saying that's the kind of thing that our Mishnah is describing as kinidrei kshevim, kinidvoisim rather, that he makes himself a nazir as a nidava, the way that a kosher would, as opposed to we said kinidrei rishoyim, where they just make a neder of nazir like casually or as a joke or as a bet or whatever. Well, that's included. Once he makes himself a nazir, it includes all those things. So the question is, Maskif Ramani. So Ramani asks on the question, you know, we always say you don't ask a kasha of a maisa, but here we are asking a kasha of a maisa. Now, why is it? We're saying that Shimon HaTzadik is saying, I would never eat the osham of a nazir tomei with the exception of this one guy. So if that's the case, so why is that? To osi al chet the pasture. So you can say the reason is because an osham is a korban that's brought for an aveira, and it's not really appropriate for a tzaddik like Shimon HaTzaddik to be eating something that was brought because of an aveira. Well, kol asham is nami lo leichol dal chet osu. Wouldn't the same thing apply to any other osham as well? When a person brings asham zelus or asham neilos or asham shivcha harufa, whatever, all of those are because of averus. Shimon HaTzadik is saying, I wouldn't eat the osham of a nazir tome, implying that other kinds of ashamis he would eat. Why? So omele Rabbi Yonah. So Rabbi Yonah, who was Rabbi Yonah, answers Ramani, hainu taima. It has nothing to do with the fact that it's al chet. The reason is, to begin with, what makes a person become a nazir? When a person is regretting his bad deeds that he did, So noizu, and then a person makes a neder because he figures that for example, that that will protect him from Hashem's punishment. He's figuring, you know, I did all kinds of averus. Now I'm worried Hashem may punish me, so therefore I'll become a nozer, and that way I'll stave off Hashem's anger. Well, what happens? Uchshen betamin. So now what happens? So the person makes, let's say, a neder of nezirus, where standard nezirus is 30 days. What happens if it becomes tamei in the middle? The rovin alein yemei nezirus. Now, all of a sudden, we have a lot more days of nezirus because they originally intended only 30 days. But when a nezir becomes tamei in the middle of nezirus, he has to start all over. He loses all the days that he counted so far. So now you have an extra number of days. Such people have charata that they ever became a nozer in the first place. The nimtzum would be in chulin ba'azara, so it comes out that their korban is actually chulin ba'azara. Now, not literally chulin ba'azara, the Ran says, because after all, the fact is they didn't do acharas nedarim, so their nezirus is still chal. But what we mean is light chulin. They don't really have the proper motivation, so therefore their korban is not really so acceptable by Hashem, and therefore I didn't want to get involved with it either. Although there are mefoshim who say that it may literally mean chulin ba'azara, for one thing, because you have later on in the Masechta, we're going to talk about nidrish shgogos, for example, where a person makes a neder b'shogeg. So here you might have, for example, the person might say to himself, you know what, if I had known to begin with that I was going to become tomei in the middle, I wouldn't have made this neder in the first place. In that case, under some circumstances, that can be considered a neder b'tos, and therefore that it was never a nezirus in the first place, and therefore literally the animals are chulin ba'azara. Or there's also there's other explanations as well. One of them being that maybe in that Torah it's enough that he has charota, and that's enough to cancel the neder. Only midrabanan do you need to go to in that kind of case of charota to a rav. We're going to talk about all those details later in the Masechta. So again, so it may mean, as the Ram says, just metaphorically chulin ba'azara, or it may mean that to a certain extent it can have the actual din literally of chulin ba'azara. So therefore, so Shimon HaTzadik is saying, fine, the person is bringing this korbanos, I'm not going to eat of such an osham, with the exception of this case. In this case, Shimon HaTzadik knew from the guy's story that he made his nezirus completely the Shem Shemayim. Therefore, even the fact that it's taking longer than normal because he became Tomei, he's not going to ever have charota that he made his nezirus, and therefore his osham is still completely the Shem Shemayim. So therefore, Shimon HaTzadik would eat from that osham. So the Gemara finishes off. Well, in that case, then why isn't Shimon HaTzadik having a problem with eating the korbanos of a nazir tohur? A nazir tohur also brings korbanos, and one of them is a shlomim, where a piece of it is given to the koyanim, and so forth. So why? And he has a chatos as well, which the koyanim eat. So Shimon HaTzadik is only saying, I won't eat the korbanos of a nazir tomei. Based on what we just said, why shouldn't he have a problem with the korbanos of a nozer tohor as well? And the answer is nozer tohor loy damudi omid nafshid yochalinder. No, because of nozer tohor, if he went through his nezirus completely, 30 days, fine. It means when he first made the neder, he figured that he could hack it for 30 days, that he could manage to do without wine and haircuts and so forth for 30 days. So therefore, there's no charota involved, and therefore Shimon HaTzadik has no problem with the korbanos being chulin bazar. Only when he can tome in the middle, then there's the possibility that he has charota. And therefore, so now in the case of this guy, this boy who came from the Dorim, the Ran finishes off. Since we see that his kavana was so good in the first place, anan sadi shalom iskaret, we can be edim that he had no charata even when he became tomei, that he's still completely motivated to do the right thing and to become a nozer in the first place and to do it as many times as necessary until he has 30 days of nizir astara, and therefore Shimon HaTzadik has no problem eating of his kavanas. Shkayach, everyone.